I'm Chris Trahan. I'm not a researcher. Hi. Thank you all for staying. Thank you for being here. I'm going to talk a little bit differently now. The Building and Construction Trades Department, the AFL-CIO, is our parent organization. The president of the building trades is the CPWR's president. Secretary Treasurer of the Building Trades is CPWR's Secretary Treasurer. And our boss, Pete Stafford, reports to them. And he also serves as the Safety and Health Director for the Building and Construction Trades Department. So from a policy standpoint, that is an advocacy organization. CPWR, we do research, we do training, we try to prove things that work and help move the ball forward. You've heard about that. We identify the problems, we look for the correct interventions, we try to move those interventions into practice. But the policy issue is not something that CPWR typically handles because we're a grant-funded organization, but our parent organization does get more involved in the policy side. The Building Construction Trades Department, there are 13 international unions in the department at this current time, representing around 2.5 million organized construction workers. And the BCTD coordinates safety and health activities on a national level. And when I say the building trades, because I've been working with these men mostly for over 15 years now, I think. Guidance comes from two key committees at the Building Trades Department, the Apprenticeship and Training Committee and the Safety and Health Committee. Safety and Health Committee meets about monthly. CPWR staff meet with the committees. We get a lot of guidance from them as well. But they and the Apprenticeship and Training, because apprenticeship and the training machine that is the building trades is core to safety and health activities, that's where the guidance comes from on the policy. We try to provide a unified voice of the construction industry, and we work closely with the AFL on all matters of national policy for safety and health. And the kind of things that we work on are OSHA rulemaking and interacting with federal agencies. We have some legislative activities that are going on, and we try to work with some national partners, the folks who use construction, the folks who employ the members of the building trades, and some key other groups that we've become involved with lately. I looked back at the last 10 years of my work at CPWR and with the building trades, and I wanted to look at a decade of fight, you know, and we've been fighting even though we haven't seemed to have gotten as far as we should in a decade. But there was too much, too many activities that we participated in support of the policy issues. So I picked out Hex Chrome. Hex Chrome is like the only health standard we've gotten in the last 15 years. But it takes a lot of work, and there are people who actually do this work, and we need more people to do this work. So when OSHA got sued and got forced by the judge to issue a Hex Chrome standard, somebody's got to be there and speaking on behalf of the workforce. So these are a list of the activities that the Building Trades Department conducted in relationship to just this one OSHA rulemaking on Hex Chrome. Here, I think this was an advance notice of proposed rulemaking. Then in January, or in early 2005, we had the proposed rule. So comments were submitted. There were hearings held. I think we had 3 weeks of hearings where testimony was given, received, cross-examination of industry folks. After a hearing, there's always some more steps that you don't plan on taking up all your time. There's additional time to submit new evidence to the rulemaking docket. And then there's a final push that happens after everything is closed where you put your final legal arguments in on behalf of the positions. Then a final rule gets published, and this is like an incredible timeline for OSHA, actually. They published the final rule in February 2006, and in April 2006, lawsuits were filed. And the Building Construction Trades Department sued OSHA over the Hex Chrome rulemaking because it didn't do what we had hoped it would do. Then in April 2007, a settlement agreement was reached between OSHA and the building trades. And here is, I think, an important key. Even though I wish in this time frame it didn't have to occur, I wish it was taken more in this time frame. But here was an area where CPWR's research really fed into getting worker protections in place. Because the reason we sued, There are two reasons. But the one reason that we reached settlement on was because Portland Cement was excluded from the hex chrome rulemaking. I don't know if you recall that, but we have an epidemic of allergic contact dermatitis amongst the trades that work with wet cement, and it's a proven health hazard. And we know the solutions, cost-effective solutions to reduce and eliminate that disease. And in OSHA's rule, they decided to exclude Portland Cement from that final rule. So that's one of the key reasons the Building Trades Department sued. CPWR had had a research project really in the 90s where we looked at the hazard. We identified interventions. We even costed out the economics of all those interventions and demonstrated that there would be money saved if the industry would address this hazard. I think that's the only reason we were able to get a decent settlement agreement, which outlined an enforcement policy that OSHA is supposed to follow when it comes to wet Portland cement. And then the last thing here, the final rule was effective at this point, but then there was a small amendment in 2010 that was the subject of another lawsuit filed by Public Citizen related to hex chrome. But this is just like one look back, a decade of work. There's a lot more that happened in that decade, but I pulled that out. So what's ahead? These are two slides. I love these two slides. I can't claim credit for them. I pulled them off of the old Pump Handle blog, which is now the science blog that Celeste authors a lot. But these slides Celeste had produced, and she said I could use them. I just like them because I can't go through them, but there's two slides that are the steps to the OSHA rulemaking process, and it's convoluted, and it's long, and it's time-consuming. And all of these various steps are put in place by executive order, by the OSHA Act, by congressional mandates of one sort or another. So this is kind of the quagmire that we work in when we work in federal OSHA rulemaking. So when I outlined this talk, I'm like, oh, we're going to have so much to talk about in the fall of 2011. So I'm going to talk about where the building trades is and fighting for a good silica standard. Right here, this is a little area on the food chain of developing proposed rules where this is where silica is. It's stuck at the White House. It is under review. The review has been extended, and we're not sure what's going to happen. So Obama will not allow OSHA to propose a silica rule as of yesterday I checked. And I2P2, that was another thing we thought we were going to be thick in it as far as the rulemaking activity goes. It's on the regulatory agenda for OSHA, so this is up in the first stage before it gets to any public. I know OSHA somewhere in here, they're preparing for SBRIFA. So this is the SBRIFA activity that's required by Congress and the small business panel. And that panel has not been established yet. So we think that there's draft regulatory language in OSHA, but we won't know for sure until the SBRIFA panel gets, so we don't know what it says. And then noise, because they were going to do some great things on noise. They were changing the way that they enforce the noise standard. In construction, we don't have hearing conservation. We have earplugs. And then maybe they work. But then what we have is we have this idea that if you're exposed way over the PEL and it's really bad, the employer has to do engineering controls. But OSHA doesn't enforce that. So the engineering control we thought was going to happen if you guys follow this, and that's not going to happen. There's a couple other things on injury and illness record keeping that seem to be moving forward. One is not going to move forward. The other one might. The log here, they wanted to add a box that had to be checked, and I don't think that's going anywhere. That was on musculoskeletal disorders. If the injury you already had to record was of a musculoskeletal flavor, you had to put a check in a box, and small businesses would have had to check a box every 10 or 12 years, but that cost was too high. And then this is they withdrew that from OMB review, and I'm not exactly sure what that means. That's that checkmark box. There's another one up here that we recently, the Building Trades Department recently commented on, which is a change in the reporting, which means when the employer has to pick up the phone and call OSHA. Right now they have to call OSHA if they hospitalize three or more employees or kill one employee. So OSHA was considering changing it. What if we said one employee? What if you had to call if you put one person in the hospital? So those comments went in, and that's somewhere up here. I'm not sure if it's going to move forward, but confined space. Confined space, final rule for construction is due out in November. That should have gone to OMB that back 2 months ago. So I think it's still coming. But in, was it 1993, general industry got a confined space rule that was nice and prescriptive and saved lives, and then in construction it didn't apply to. So hopefully we're going to get a final rule, and that's at the final rule stage. And it's somewhere in here, and this is like the end. This is the final rule. This was the second slide, end box. So it's somewhere there, and we're really looking forward to it, to get a good final rule for construction. We have some other activities that the Building Trades Department has been working on. I don't want to get into them at this time, just due to time, but I always like the Green Construction Initiative. This is a picture of City Center in Las Vegas going off. It's a fabulous green project. We had, was it 8 workers killed in this project? 6 workers? We had a rash of fatalities on several construction projects in Vegas at the time, and this project overall earned one of the highest ratings for green construction, even though we had lots of bad things happen on that job site. And then the whole question, what is green construction? As this gentleman sprays on isocyanates those are some of the things the Building Trades Department, as well as CPWR, are working on. How do we affect positive change? What are the next steps? Well, we're going to keep, from the building trades, we're going to keep pushing and we're going to keep fighting from the policy level, but I'm of the mindset that a lot of the way we do business has to change, and I'm not sure how to do that, but I always thought that if we could do something with these things, that we might actually get somewhere. We could do something that made the regulatory process more protective for the workforce. But I'm not sure how to do that because it's really complicated. But just other than that, how do we keep pushing? And it's everyone who cares to sit in this room. I mean, you obviously have a vested interest in construction worker safety and health. So when something comes out and there's some activity out of the federal government where there's an opportunity to weigh in, write a letter, you know, express an opinion, cite an example of why things need to move forward. Because right now, I don't think Washington hears much except for that regulations kill jobs. And there's nothing moving right now, I don't think, in Washington because of that. So with that, I'll just close it up and take any questions you might have. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I don't think CPWR does.
I don't know the answer. I'm pretty new to that myself. I'm new to working in this role, but it seems as though Kaiser often tries to do the right thing. And so if I can develop that relationship, I will. So
well, let's talk. All right. Any other questions? Yeah.
First,
I don't know specifically because I'm not speaking for the parent organization in this capacity in response to your question, but I do know that When everything was hitting, I think it was on the 16th of September, the Building Trades Department did issue letters of support to OSHA in the rescission of that compliance directive. And several of the building trades unions did as well, including the roofers union. So in general, I'm sure that the building trade supports OSHA in applying subpart M as it was written during the rulemaking process versus how it was enforced from 94 to 2011.